of the new business administrator, some questions regarding our interim business administrator, and some questions we don't think they asked yet, but we're sure are coming down the road. So we've tried to address as many as we possibly can in that document.
Yes, I just made sure that everyone, all the board members, had a copy of the PowerPoint that we can put online. So later on in new business, when we're doing the letter, if you would just review it, and you can get back to me, and we'll put it online if it looks good to everybody.
Okay, so those are the highlights of what we met about and discussed. And with that said, I would like to move action item 13PN001 to action item
030.
Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Rachel. Any discussion on any of the items on personnel and negotiations?
I would just like to make a friendly amendment to PN002. The effective date of the resignation is not correct here. The effective date is September 1st.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Rachel.
One of the things that Dr. Clark has initiated is sending out minutes for various committees. And I know that I sent out the minutes from our committee. I didn't receive minutes from personnel and negotiations. I was going to ask Michelle, but she's not here. Do you know if she's going to be sending those out?
I included them in case people, some board members told me that they didn't receive them. And I know they were done. So I added them into the board packet. If you go back and check your board packet, you'll find them in there.
Okay.
Anything else on personnel negotiations? Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Prada?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkloff?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Policy and curriculum, Rachel, please.
The Policy and Curriculum Committee met a couple weeks ago with Dr. Clark, and we had a very long and productive meeting. We had a lengthy agenda, but we didn't get to very much because there are a lot of issues to discuss. In the committee minutes that were sent out, it gave a synopsis of what we covered. Maria covered some of it. We also spent a great deal of time talking about the new hiring process that Dr. Clark would be initiating. And we also spent a lot of time talking about action item 13PC004, which is the consortium agreement that we're going to be going into with several districts in Hunterdon County to work on the new EENJ04 teacher tenure reform law, which is going to require a lot of training on the part of our administrators and teachers to observe staff members. And by participating in the consortium, we're hoping to alleviate some costs to the district by sharing this service. In addition, on the agenda tonight, you will see a couple of policies. 1631, where new employees of the district must now reside in New Jersey as per the governor's new law. There is also a new description of the BCBA, Applied Behavior Analysis Behavioral Consultant position. And those are the highlights from our meeting.
Thank you, Rachel. Would you like to move those items?
To move action item 13PC001 through action item 13PC004.
Thank you. Do we have a second on that motion?
Second.
Second by Michelle Sullivan. Any discussion on any of those items, 01 through 04, on policy and curriculum? Seeing none, may we have a roll call vote?
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mr. Prada?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkloff?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Communications, Mrs. Grant?
Sure. We met with Dr. Clark, our initial meeting with Dr. Clark. We reviewed with Dr. Clark what types of projects and communications the Communications Committee, as well as the Board of Education, had done over the last 9 months. We talked extensively about areas that we felt we needed to improve on, topics we needed to get more information out. For example, the budget presentations, the process for our budget, things of that nature. We talked about developing a new way of communicating with the public called Hot Topics, and we're in the process now of coming up with Hot Topic schedule for things that we think the public, from what we're hearing and reading, would like to know about, so we're developing a schedule with that. Dr. Clark talked about a new website that will be launched in August, and from that particular website, people will be able to sign up with their emails to receive email blasts from the district to get additional information on what might be going on in the district. We're also going to work out a schedule for mapping out the budget process and how and when we communicate that information to the community and to the staff, and how the communications department would work and support Dr. Clark in her needs with communicating with all of our constituents.
Thank you, Maria. Do we have any resolutions to be brought before the board?
No, none at this time.
Okay. Any questions for Maria on communications? Any future projects that board members have any questions about, concerns? Go ahead.
I would just like to share that I completed an article for the Clinton Township newsletter, and they were kind enough to ask me if I would do a regular column. So I am doing that on education and the schools here. And so the article is the first in a series, and we'll be talking about different topics related to our schools. I'm going to take the public on a tour of some of the buildings and lessons going on in classrooms, what's happening that's different today from years ago. I think it'll be fun. I am hoping that the community enjoys it. And I did something radical, like put my email address in the Clinton Township newsletter, and I'm expecting to get some communications so that I can respond to questions and help people become more informed about our schools.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Move on to old business. Is there any old business that needs to be brought up? Mr. Gagliardi?
Yeah, Mr. President, just a procedural issue I wanted to bring to the board's attention again to keep us from being distracted and so that we can focus on the educational issues that Dr. Clark suggests. So this is just a procedural issue. Three times during the meeting tonight, I didn't want to interrupt, but I just want to make a suggestion in terms of correcting or modifying an item that's been placed on the agenda. There are essentially three ways to do it, and I'll use, just because it was the first example, I'll use Mr. Frieda's request as it came to the minutes. Okay, so if you as a board member think that there is a modification or correction that's appropriate when there's an agenda item that's been placed before you, there are three ways you can do it. Before the motion's been made, you can make the sort of suggestion that was made here, which is, you know, I noticed something, I remember the meeting, and I think this, which was in new business, should really be in old business. And so folks sort of nod knowingly, and then when the motion is actually made, it's clear that what you're moving is the corrected version of what's been placed before you. So that's the first way to do it. The second way to do it is after the motion has been made, if you have some sort of correction, again, using that example, or in one case, the superintendent said, oh, there's something here, the date's got to be changed. After the motion's been made, you can do it. She actually used the correct term, friendly amendment, but whether it's the person speaking or the chair, you ask the person who moved and seconded the motion, will you accept as a friendly amendment this particular modification or correction? And the person who moved and seconded can say that. And then, again, it's clear to everyone what it is that you're voting on, which is what has been placed before you, modified by virtue of that friendly amendment. And then the third alternative, I don't want to call it an unfriendly amendment, but it is the formal way, which is you have something that's been placed before you by way of a motion and a second, and someone wants to add or modify it, and whether it's of controversy or whether it's because the person chooses to take the technical approach, it's to make a motion to amend what's been placed on the table before you. And if that is seconded, then there'll be a discussion and then a vote on whether or not to amend the underlying motion, and then you'd have a discussion and a vote on that motion, which may or may not have been amended depending on how that vote goes. I think that will clarify the process in terms of what the board's voting on. Remember, on one occasion when you were voting, you said, yes, I vote on that as amended. But you want to be clear, you're not voting on it as amended, you're voting on what's before you. And so this is a way to make clear that everyone knows what's been before you. So having heard that a couple times tonight, I thought it might be useful, and I hope it's confined to old business, not to be resurrected again, but it was just something else while we're talking about procedure, Mr. President, I wanted to take a moment to mention.
Thank you, Mr. Gagliardi. That information is very, very helpful. Dr. Clark had mentioned a while ago the importance of having a couple board members who are really quote-unquote experts on Robert's Rules of Order. And I'm going to suggest or ask as board president if Maria Grant and Michelle Sullivan would be kind enough to take on the role of, I really want to call it a sergeant at arms, maybe we can call it as Pam Fyander had suggested, a process guardian. And we've ordered abbreviated version of Robert's Rules of Order. So as soon as they come in, I'll give you, Michelle, and you, Maria, a copy.
Sure.
And if we have any questions that come up at future board meetings, we can turn to our two local experts on Robert's Rules of Order who will help us in this matter. Okay, but thank you, Mr. Gagliardi.
You're welcome
for bringing that up.
Robert was quite verbose, so I imagine even the abbreviated versions will be intimidating. And if you think it would be helpful, even just to have a telephone conference, I certainly think having you serve that role is more efficient for the public than necessarily having counsel here at every single meeting. But after you review what is going to be provided to you, if you want to have a telephone conference where we go over questions or process, I'm certainly at your service through the board president.
Great. Thank you.
Talking about telephone conference, what's the appropriateness? We don't have board members just call you.
Correct.
Phone calls to the board attorney are usually from either the superintendent, the business administrator, and is it appropriate for the board president also to be calling you?
Sure. There's a limited universe of people that talk to the board attorney, and typically board members are doing it through the board president. So we talk not just with Clinton Township, but I represent about two dozen districts. So there's the board president, superintendent, business administrator, certainly the director of special services. She loves to chat with us. And then, obviously, for handling negotiations or personnel matters, we might talk to the chair of the personnel or negotiations committee, which some boards is the same person. In other cases, it's different. But that's, quite frankly, the universe of people that we'll be interacting with almost without exception.
Thank you.
I would recommend that we refer this to the policy committee, the chair of policy, because mostly boards have a policy that is very specific to who speaks to the board attorney in order to, forgive me, keep costs down as well. So that the conversations are limited in scope.
I mean, I was well aware the board president speaks to the attorney. The purpose of my no vote was not because you spoke to him. The purpose of my no vote was, I'm not going to rehash anything here, but the timing of the phone calls in conjunction with some of the dates involving some issues. So that's why. But I'm well aware that you are entitled to speak to him.
Do we have any old business that needs to be brought up before the board?
I do.
Go ahead, Rachel.
We've had several discussions about a follow-up for Pam Fyander and talking about the adoption of board goals and ethics, specifically board goals for next year. So I was wondering if we could move that forward and pick a date or talk about when we might be able to construct those.
Yeah. I've reached out to her. I'm still waiting for her to get back to me. I've placed a couple phone calls to her
okay. And
have not heard from her yet.
If I can add on to what Rachel said, I know the whole board had received a copy of a draft of our core values, and I'd like to see if each of the board members could, over the next couple of weeks, read the draft and then you know, be prepared to have a discussion of whether we accept each of the cores on here. If folks want to have any modifications, additions or subtractions, so that our discussions with Pam can be very quick and very direct. Because I would like to suggest that maybe we have a goal as a board to vote on these core values at the next meeting in August, so that when the new academic year comes in September, that the board adopts these, we make it public to everyone, and move forward as a board.
I'll speak to Dr. Clark. We'll see if we could set up whether Pam Feyender is available to us or not, whether we could set up a time prior to our August board meeting, okay, where we could talk about the core values and establish goals. I think we had talked about the possibility of doing it during a weekday, yep, maybe from 7 to 10 if need be, rather than a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll speak to Dr. Clark about that. Any other old business that needs to be brought before the board? Seeing none, let's move on to new business. Any new business that needs to be brought before the board?
I have some new business.
It's actually just a little positive new business I thought we could use. I got home today, and in the mail, there was a postcard, and it was addressed to my daughter, and I just want to share it. It says, "Hello, Maven family. I hope you're having a wonderful summer. Enjoy every day. I'm in North Ireland with friends who live here. It's a great time. Mr. Stinner." And Mr. Stinner was Maeve's second grade teacher this year, and it just made her day to know that he was still excited about her summer. And I just thought it was wonderful. I wanted to share that with everybody, how great our teachers are here.
I
have a piece of new business. Regarding, I think Mr. Gagliardi here is a good thing. I think we learned a lot today that we didn't know. I think, too bad he wasn't here during some of the more turbulent past couple of months. I, for one, am an advocate of having a board attorney present at every meeting. I believe the absence of our board attorney has caused us as a board to become lazy with our process and less rigorous about our procedures. And sadly, right now, we're seeing the end result of some of you not being here or your representative. Sure. And I'd like to throw it out to my fellow board members. What are their thoughts about having counsel here at every meeting? I think it protects us as a board. We learned some valuable information from Mr. Gagliardi, as you pointed out, about the motions. And I think it would behoove us and the community to have it here. I mean, you know, the government, the mayor and council have a board attorney present at every meeting. I just think it's a good idea. It's prudent. You know, are we spending dollars? Yes, but not by not being here. Look what happened in the past couple of months. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. So I'm throwing it out there. I'm asking my fellow board members their thoughts on us having a board attorney here at every meeting.
Can I ask, Mr. Gagliardi, is it common for a Board of Ed to have an attorney at every meeting?
It really depends on the district, and it sort of defies the size of the district. I represent, as general counsel, probably about 24 boards, the vast majority of which don't have me at all their meetings. Obviously, that would make life impossible. I would be sort of a divorced cave dweller, but there are three boards that seek to have me attend all of their business meetings, and one is a large former Abbott district, and one is a very small K-12 district. So it really depends on the board. Given the what we're, I think, politely referred to as the turbulent months in May, Mr. Dinkoff asked if either I or someone from my office could attend your business meetings going forward, and I told him that, you know, we would accommodate that. Ironically, the vast majority of the boards I represent seem to meet on Monday nights, so I said it wouldn't always be me. When it's not me, it'll be Raquel, who you had at your last meeting. So, you know, we go where we're invited, like any decent guest. If you folks think I'm contributing, then I should come back. I mean, I think there are some boards that have me there as a crutch or really a glorified parliamentarian. And at that point, I don't know what value I'm adding. But at least at this point, I mean, you threaten civil suit and a criminal investigation. I certainly agree that our presence was warranted. And I'm not shy. I'll be polite about it. But when I think that it's not to your benefit, I'll tell you. If you disagree and you want me here, that's fine. If I think it's important that you have me here and you tell me not to show up, I work for you folks, that's okay too. But at least for the short term, I don't know that we need to make a commitment, you know, forevermore. But at least in the short term, given what's gone on, I do feel that perhaps we can help set the board back on track, and I certainly hope you feel we're doing that.
Thank you.
With the new superintendent, I think it's a good idea. I mean, yeah.
Yes, I am not a fan of having an attorney at all our meetings for perpetuity. However, I think this is a time when we need a board attorney present to help us focus and keep our meetings on track and follow procedure in a tight way. I think Maria and Michelle are, you know, they're quick learners and have great brains, but Robert's rules take a little bit of time to absorb and get comfortable with. And so as they're doing that, I think it's a good idea for us, especially since I think we've all agreed that we really want to move forward and focus on education. And so getting the procedure right is very important. It's part of what helps us be transparent to the public and demonstrate, you know, the integrity that you all have. So I think it would be helpful. I think Mr. Frieda's suggestion is a good one, and we should do it for a while and help us get back on track. But I don't want to spend the money forever because I committed to fiscal responsibility.
We will continue at least for the near future to continue with the board attorney. And maybe it's something that the policy committee could look at and come up with a recommendation. Let's see what happens over the next few months. And if the policy committee, along with the superintendent, feels that we've reached the point where it's not absolutely necessary for us to have the board attorney present, we can so inform Mr. Gagliardi's office. Okay? Any other new business that needs to be brought before the board? The letter?
Yes. I'd like to bring up two pieces of new business on the same topic, if I can. The Personnel Negotiations Committee, as I mentioned before, felt it very important to respond to some questions that the public had in regards to the hiring of our new business administrator, as well as the hiring of our interim business administrator. And so we wanted to increase our communication to the public. So we had two avenues to do that with in our thinking. The first was to write a letter to the editor of the Democrat. And as I briefly mentioned before, the editor made it very clear that, you know, 500 words was the max, over 500 to 501, and he was going to kick it back to us. So we wrote the initial letter, which the board got, and then I had the discussion with the editor. And after that discussion, I reviewed the letter, which you folks have in your hand, and the letter is well over 500 words. So what I would like to propose to the board is that in the initial letter that you did receive, that we extract three bullet points. One, in regarding to the hiring of the interim business administrator and the information that is within that category. The second, I would like to propose that we take from the initial letter is how we've restructured the assistant business administrator's position, the explanation for that and the savings that we're incurring nicely for that move, and talk about any other administrative savings that we've been able to achieve recently. So that this week, tonight, if the board approves the letter, which specifically discusses the business administrator, we will submit that to the Democrat this evening. And then next week, we will submit a second letter that talks about the three topics I've outlined before.
So while you're submitting the letters to the editor, would the data in total be on the website for anyone to peruse?
Right, so, and that's a good question. And as we've done over the last 9 months or so, As we have any documents that may be of a Q&A or a press release or information, what we would do is we would send out this letter to the editor, we would send out press releases, we would send out information to our staff, we would send out information to our parents through our email blast and let them know it's on our website under headlines and features. And it would be, in this circumstance, it would be under headlines and topics under BA salary or BA hiring process. And then they would be able to find that information there. And that would stay there for a very long time.
So if I have email, I can receive that as a blast. If I don't have email, I can read about it in the Democrat for those critical items. How about those non-critical items? How would I access that if I don't have access to a computer or email?
We can clearly put it in the Clinton Township newsletter in the following months as well, so that the folks that may not have a computer or don't use a computer or are not connected to our email blasts, they'll be able to get that as well. And then I know Mr. Weber's working on the new website, and once we get people to subscribe to our new email blasts, we can send this out as well and make sure that those people are covered too.
So your recommended methodologies would have the opportunity for 100% coverage?
Well, 100% would be nice, but
it has that opportunity.
It has the opportunity, yeah. And if anybody else can think of other avenues that we're not thinking about to reach all of the people in our community, please let us know, and we'll definitely add that to our list.
Maria, are you making this in the form of a motion?
I would like to make a motion.
I just wanted to be clear, based on our esteemed attorney's recommendation, before you make the motion, all right, that you're making a motion in terms of the business, in terms of the business administrator, you're taking that out, but you're leaving in the last bullet point. The Board of Education is not replacing the vacant assistant business administrator. Are we leaving that in or not?
What I'm suggesting is that goes into next week's.
Okay.
So the two bullet points that will be removed from the initial letter that the board received would be the discussion about Mr. Del Sorti and the parameters that he was hired and how he's worked for us under the last 8 months or so. The second bullet point that I would recommend that we remove from the initial letter would be the discussion of restructuring the assistant business administrator's position to a comptroller's position. And so what that letter would be is administrative savings, and we could communicate that. And then since there were so many more questions about the hiring of the BA, the process, the salary, the level of responsibility, the shared services agreement, and those things, that we would keep that in all one letter.
Okay, so the motion would be for two letters to the editor?
For two letters, and then I'm not sure, Mr. Gagliardi, maybe you could help me with this. We also have a document we're going to put on the website called a Hot Topics, which is really exactly what's in these two letters, and there's some additional information as well that we couldn't fit under the 500-word limitation. Do we need to vote on this as well?
I don't think you necessarily need to vote on what goes on the website. You certainly can. But I think that it's crucial that you vote on the letters to the editor.
Yep.
So whether you choose to add that to your motion or not is up to you, but I don't think it's required.
Okay.
Obviously, information goes on your website all the time. It's not, quote-unquote, approved by the board.
Correct.
But submitting a letter to the editor that says it's from the board does require a vote.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to make a motion for the board to approve the submission of two letters to the editor. One would be submitted this week. I talked about the hiring process and a variety of topics around the business administrator. And then the second letter, which would be submitted next week, which talked about the hiring of the interim business administrator and the restructuring of the assistant business administrator. And then another summary paragraph that would just talk about the salary of the business administrator so people could get an entire understanding of our administrative cost savings over the last few months.
Do we have a second to that motion?
Can I ask a question before we go into the motion?
Or? We should have a second before.
Second.
Second by Dan. Now you can ask your question. Yes.
Have we thought through how that information is going to be conveyed if people read only one letter and not the other? So if somebody reads only the first letter, I'm sure that will be fine, but if somebody only picks up the second letter, are we going to have a problem where they only have a small snapshot of information and it could create more questions than it answers?
If I can address that, or you want to?
Well, I was going to ask a question which I think answers that. It's the last paragraph, and I don't know that your motion made this clear, but I think it's what I understood, that both letters will refer to the website that has the comprehensive story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think as long as that last paragraph is in both letters, which is certainly my recommendation, I think that addresses the appropriate concern raised by Ms. Sullivan, which is how do we know that people are going to get the whole picture if they're going to see it twice in the newspaper, and it's that both will refer you to the website which has the whole picture.
If I can add to that, the introductory paragraph to the second letter is different in the sense that it talks about that these three points that we're about to cover in the letter talk about administrative cost savings and changes we've made in administration, whereas the opening paragraph in the first letter talks about providing information on our new hiring of our business administration. So it's introduced separately so that there shouldn't be confusion into what these two separate letters are going to address.
Can I ask a question? Or you want to answer her first?
I just wanted to say, and we did coordinate the responses, so we checked that, because different people were writing these, so we checked the information back and forth so that we cross-checked everything and the information is the same in both documents.
Okay, great.
I agree with the content of the document, but I don't agree that it's in letter form. I'm a traditionalist. I like paragraphs. So I'm wondering if there's any feeling on the board as to a traditional letter with paragraphs versus the bulleted, but I don't like the bulleted form of it. I think it's a little impersonal. It doesn't appeal to me as a letter.
I think initially we had it written in paragraph format, and then the letter got so long, we were afraid nobody was going to read it. And so we thought maybe we would put it in almost a bulleted point so that it'd be easier to move through the document. But now that we've taken out three paragraphs from it, I think it's a lot shorter and an easier read. So I agree with what you're saying, and it may be more appropriate to drop the bullets and go back to a paragraph type of reading document, because it's shorter.
Can I just make a comment? I agree that the letter is good, and no disrespect to anybody. I just think my personal opinion is we might have dropped the ball because we should have been addressing these issues before we passed the resolution. You know, we got a lot of heat, I guess, because we didn't talk about it before we made the resolution was passed. And maybe in the future going forward, we can address things like this during the hiring process, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and or at the time of the resolution when we're going to make the vote, in order to give people openness and transparency and accountability to why we're doing what we do. We've made the hire, it's a justifiable salary, now we're getting questioned, but we didn't do it ahead of time. We should have been presenting the information ahead of time. Now we're trying, it looks like we're backtracking and trying to play catch up with deciphering information. And no disrespect, I don't mean any disrespect, but that's what it looks like perception-wise. Now we're playing catch up, let's get the information out when the hire's already been made because we're getting heat on it. And I think we should have been doing it beforehand in the future.
If you don't mind, when Mrs. Grant was talking about our minutes from the Personnel Committee, this issue came up, not the hiring of the BA, but in being more transparent about how we hire all of our personnel. And so we talked about putting together a process where we do this and make it consistent across all our schools. We can even post it on our website when we do that in terms of employment opportunities. Unfortunately, Mr. Weber was at the meeting and contributed in a very positive way, so he became manager of that special project. So he's working with a number of our administrators who volunteered to put together a hiring process so that the board can review it. That's what we'll do all the time, and it works across the district consistently so that, and it's on the website, so everybody sees it, knows how we do it, and it will include how we hire administrators as well.
Before we actually...
Exactly, perfect. Before.
Thank you. Perfect.
I have a comment about the paragraphs and the bullets. I really believe, unfortunately, most people don't read as much as they probably should. And I think a letter to the editor with bullets would have a better chance of people reading it and understanding it rather than the letter being in just paragraph form. So my own personal feeling is I prefer seeing it in bullet form in the paper.
If I can also share, and I apologize for not sharing this piece of information that the papers had said to me when I was talking to them. They said they've never gotten a letter to the editor with bullet points before, and they said they weren't sure how they were going to handle it. So I want to share that with you guys, that it may get kicked back because it's bullets and not paragraphs. So we run a danger in this case, of wanting to get information out quickly. If they kick it back to us, now we're another week behind in getting this letter out, and then we're another week in getting the second half of the letter out, too. So, I mean, I just want to share that information with you. That's what they said when I talked about the formats. I said, we have two different formats. One is this way, and one is with the bullets. And they said, oh, my gosh, we've never had bullets before. I'm not sure what we'll do with it. We may just kick it back to you. So...
They're not on the leading edge of technology.
They are not, but I think everybody should know that, and I should have shared that earlier.
In the essence of time, you probably then want to bring it back to paragraph form so that you don't chance it being kicked back.
You've got to go paragraph.
And we'll work on the newspaper with bullet forms for the future.
All right, so we have a motion to send a letter, actually two letters, to the Hunter and Democrat, one that, Maria, you'll get out tonight. Curtis Leeds is waiting for you to give him a call or to send it with the, there'll be a second one going out next week.
That's correct.
There's a deadline of 500 words and also a time commitment, right? Now, this is going to be, we'll take a vote naturally, but this will come from the entire board?
Yes, and Dr. Clark.
And Dr. Clark. Any other discussion before we take a roll call vote?
Why is a motion needed on this? Mr. Gagliardi, can you explain why?
Sure.
So I understand.
Sure. It actually fits hand in glove with one of the first points I made tonight in terms of talking to the press and whether you're authorized to speak on behalf of the board. So the idea is to submit this letter to the editor on behalf of the board. In order to do so, the board needs to formally approve it, hence the vote.
Got it. Thank you.
I could have sent this out as an individual. Jim Dinkoff, member of the Clinton Township Board, not speaking. Maria Grant could have sent it out as an individual, as a member of the board, but not speaking on behalf of the board. Our feeling was that it was more powerful and more meaningful if there was a motion and it came from the Board of Education. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Any other new business that needs to be brought up before the board? Seeing none, we'll go to the second recognition of the public. And again, just a gentle reminder, if you'd like to address the board, please come up to the mic, state your name and address, and limit your comment, question, or concern to 3 minutes. Does anybody like to address the board? Please feel free to do so at this time. Seeing none, I will ask for a motion to adjourn. Do we have a motion from anyone to bring the meeting to closure?
So moved.
So moved.
So moved by Mark Freda. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Rachel also. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.